Guys in sixth grade, you can go with Hunter and Trinity in the back there. It's like dive on into this. So last week we started a brand new series called what? What's it called? What's it called? Awesome. We started a series called Unusual Kindness. Based out of Acts 28, verse 2, from a prophetic word given to us at camp by Pastor Israel, saying that we would be a ministry that is a refuge, and we would be a ministry of unusual. Somebody say unusual. Come on, somebody say unusual. Kindness. The word kindness we defined last week as this. It means a love. Somebody say love. Somebody say love. Towards man, having a tendency to do good to others, acts of kindness, readiness to help, hospitality, human friendship, taking thought of others, goodness in action, sweetness of disposition, and gentleness is in dealing with others. What I especially love about this word is that this word speaks of being willing to do good to those around you, even when they are taxing your patience. Come on, how many guys have somebody that kind of gets underneath your skin? Right? She points at him. That is awesome. So it gets underneath your skin. Come on, how many guys have somebody that's a little bit annoying? What's that sound? It sounds like a helicopter is flying over us. Is there a helicopter flying over us? That'd be awesome right now. But we all have that person. Right? Maybe at times it is your brother and sister. Well, you know, if we're honest, maybe at times it is your parents. You know, maybe at times it's that person at school that goes out of their way to make your life miserable. Right? But the Bible tells us that this God type of love, right, this God type of love is specifically there for people just like that. You know, and last week we said that there are three characteristics from kindness. Number one is that kindness is rooted in love. Somebody say love. Love. Number two, kindness moves. Kindness is love in action. Number three, kindness thinks of itself less or thinks of others first. So if we're all honest in this place, how many of us have ever struggled to love before? Come on, if we can throw back up this definition up here. Come on, how many of us have ever struggled to show love to those around us? Come on, how many of us have ever struggled to do good to those who hurt us? Come on, to act kindly. Come on, how many of us have ever struggled to be ready to help those in need? Right? How many of us have ever struggled to have a sweet disposition when that person is like 10 feet underneath your skin and all you can think it mentally about is just drop kicking them in the face? And you're just like, oh, that would be so nice right now, right? Right? Is that truth be told? You know, how many of us has ever met a mean Christian before? You know, that Christian that loves God. Right? And they look like they've been sucking on lemons for the past 5 years. Right? And they're just mean. You know what blows my mind? Is that you ask any waiter or waitress, their least favorite time to serve is on Sunday after church. Why? Because all the Christians come in and they're mean, they're cranky, and they don't know how to tip. You ask any waiter or waitress, they would rather serve the heathen table than the Christian table. It's very backwards. So I think us as a body of Christ, we have something to learn about this thing called loving those around us, right? 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 Come on, right? Come on, but here's the thing about loving others. Is that I have found that you can't love others if you don't love yourself. Hear me tonight. You can't love others until you love yourself. You know, Jesus spelled out this for us in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. He says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." We got that one, right? This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hear me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as
yourself.
Love your neighbor as
yourself.
So what this tells me, right? Jesus, in this verse, he just listed the two most important commandments. He said, if you do these two things, you will fulfill the law of Moses. Basically, everything in between Genesis and Revelations, if you do these two things, you'll do it all. And this is like the cheat code, okay? And so part of the top two things Jesus is looking from you is to love your neighbor as yourself. So what this tells me is that if I don't love myself, then I can't love my neighbor as God is calling me to. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Come on, if I don't love me, then I can't really love you. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
See, Jesus is pointing out a principle here, is that the way that we view we love ourselves will directly affect the way that we view, love, and treat those around us. I'm going to say that again because that's good. The way we view love ourselves will directly affect the way that we view, love, and treat those around us. Why? Why is that the case? There goes my water. It's okay. Why is that the case? Because we only reproduce who we are, not what we know. Listen, you will never reproduce what you know. You can only reproduce who you are. So if I want that person to feel loved, I mean, I got to learn how to love myself. Because I only reproduce who I am, not just what I know. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll prove it to you. You know that kid in your school who treats everyone like crap? Right? Right, maybe that girl who gossips about everybody, right, who just goes around and stirs up trouble. You know, I guarantee you that they hate themselves. They treat others poorly because they don't have a good opinion of who they are. I'm gonna preach to the wall again this week. Listen, listen, listen. Most Christians live in something called, I'm not saying most Christians, many Christians in some area of their life, they live in something called spiritual rebellion. What's spiritual rebellion? Spiritual rebellion is this. It's a rejection of who we are and how we were created. Come on, it's a rejection of who we are and how we were created. See, we ask ourselves these questions, and the truth is that when we hate and we reject who we are actually hating on God because we're made in his image. Come on, when I don't like me, really what I'm saying is, God, I don't like a part of you. Why? Because I'm made in your image. Come on, so do you view yourself as desirable, as someone who's choosable, as someone who's lovable? Or do you view yourself as undesirable, unlovable, and not worth choosing? Do you view yourself as beautiful and handsome or flawed? Do you love your personality or wish you had someone else's personality? Do you view yourself as a blessing or do you view yourself as an apology? Come on, do you view your life as an apology? You know, we ask ourselves these questions, man, was I born the right gender? Was I born the right race, man? Was I born in the right time? Was I born with the right parents, with the right siblings? Was I born with the right body, with the right face, with the right mind, with the right body type, man, with the right personality, right? We say, man, if only I had their body, right? Man, if only I looked like them, man, if only I didn't have as many freckles, man, if only I didn't have acne as bad. And we're living in spiritual rebellion because we're hating on the way that we're created. See, can I let you know something? For many of us, we're our own worst critic. Come on, we're our own worst critic. See, if we're honest, we can all admit that we have these moments of having a hard time loving ourselves, right? Right? Come on, if your head's not shaking, you're lying. All of us have had moments in this place where we've said, man, I wish I wasn't me and I wish I was them. At the end of the day, that's what we said. And the Bible calls it something called spiritual rebellion. To put this in perspective, you know, man, I wish I would have played a YouTube video of it, man. But years ago, I saw this this birthday party on YouTube where this father decides to bless his daughter with like a brand new like Mustang or brand new BMW or something like that. She's turning 16, and the father blesses his daughter with this brand new car. And so they take her outside, and she's blindfolded, right? And you can just tell the parents are so excited about what they're going to give their daughter. And they take her outside, and they bring her, and they take off the blindfold. And she goes, "What did you give me? How could you get me this car? I wanted a red car, not a blue car." "I want you to take this back to the store." And you're like, you could tell this girl was a brat, okay? Got everything that she wanted the way that she wanted it. Blows my mind, right? But listen to me. Listen to me. When we look in the mirror and hate the way that we're created, we're doing the exact same thing. Wow. "God, how could you create me with this face? God, I hate my body. God, why aren't I just like them?" We're no different than that girl with the blue car that wanted a red car. Thank you, Christian. It does just want to lay it. You know what? Here you go. See, loving yourself is not being obsessed with yourself. It's not being like super into you. You know what loving yourself is? I mean, all it is it's seeing you the way that God sees you. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's seeing you the way that God sees you. And here's the thing, is that I really can't see others the way God sees them until I see me the way that God sees me. Hear me. We're going to dive more into that next week. But here's the truth, right? Is that we all have moments where it's hard loving ourselves. Can I see your hands if you have had those moments? Right? We've all had those moments. See, but here's the thing about loving yourself that I found out. Is that you can't love yourself until you believe or know that you're loved. Hear me, you can't love yourself until you believe, until you know that you're loved. You know, in fact, man, if you have a hard time believing that you're loved, it's because you have a warped view of God's love towards you. Hear me, if you have a hard time believing that you're loved, knowing that you're loved, it's because somewhere in there, somewhere in your heart, you've believed a lie and not the truth about God's love for you. See, do you live in the reality that you're loved? Like living it. I'm not just talking about know it, but do you live in the reality that you're loved? You see, there's three questions that everybody answers in their lifetime. Three questions. And these three questions, they will determine how you treat your future spouse. They will determine how you treat your parents. They will determine how you treat your friends. They will determine how you treat your enemies. These three questions, these are the three most important questions, man, that I believe that you could ever answer. Number one, how do I see God? How do I see God? Man, do I see God as some mean God up in the sky who's distant and who's cold, man, who's uninvolved in my life, who's waiting to punish me? If that's how you view God, it's going to affect how you live. Second question, what does God think about me? Third question, how does God feel towards me? See, your perspective on who God is and how you think he feels about you will determine and shape everything in your life. If I could get somebody to come and play the keys for me. See, I love this because how many of you guys know that God just doesn't have love, right? But God is love. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, it says this. 1 John 4:8. I'll read it from here. You guys will get it. There it is. It says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is what?
Love.
For God is what?
Love.
Right? If we've been in church any amount of time, we know who God is. Right? We know in our heads who God is. But how many of you guys know that many times is that my head and my heart are in disagreement about who God really is? And about what God really thinks about me. And about how he really feels towards me. Right? I mean, my head knows that God is love. But my heart doesn't yet believe it. See, because it doesn't matter what your head knows. It matters what your heart believes. Because what your heart believes is how you're going to live. Are you hearing me? Come on, so how do you really see God? Come on, like that's the question I'm asking you tonight. Do your heart and your head agree about God? Because your heart, your head can believe the truth, or your heart can be stuck in unbelief. So how do you see God? Man, what does your heart really believe? What reality are you living in? Do you believe that God is distant and uninvolved? Do you believe that God is someone who withholds good things from you? Do you believe that God is someone who demands perfection? Do you believe that God is harsh and punishing? Come on, are you constantly asking yourself these questions? Why isn't God here for me? Why doesn't God give me what I need? I feel like God is waiting to punish me for everything I do. Why do I have to jump through so many hoops to please God? Why can't I do what I want? God never holds people accountable anyways. Come on, so for a second, I want you to close your eyes. Come on, what does your heart really believe? Come on, how would you answer those questions? What does God think about you? What does God feel towards you? See, maybe your heart believes that God views us views you through your mistakes, right? We think God sees us with this lens, and he views me through my sin. And even though, man, maybe I repented of this sin like 20 times, man, and maybe it happened last week, a month ago, man, maybe it happened yesterday, but we're fixed on the fact, man, that when God sees me, all he sees is the stain of my sin and the stain of my junk and the stain of my mess. And so because of that, I think that God is disappointed in me and that God is ashamed of me. Amen. How can I love someone who God is ashamed of? How can I love someone who God is disappointed in? Maybe your heart believes, man, that God views you through your work. And that God is only pleased with you, man, as long as you pray a lot. Read your Bible a lot. Worship with every fiber in your being, man, etc. In the moment that you stop doing those things, you think that God's view towards you has changed. Oh, look, there he is. He stopped reading his Bible. Man, he hasn't read his Bible in 2 days. Man, I mean, he hasn't prayed in a week. And we think that God's view towards us has completely shifted and changed. So as long as I'm praying a lot and worshiping a lot and reading a lot, I'm good with God. And it's this conditional love thing. It's this legalistic lens that's based off of what I can do and how much I can do for God. You know, sit with every eye closed, please. I just want you to meditate on these statements in your heart. And maybe your heart believes that God views you the same way that your parents do. You know, many of us, we think God is like our natural parents. And whatever judgments that we pass on our parents, many times, man, without even knowing, we automatically put those same judgments on God. So, man, dad works all the time. Dad doesn't have time for me, man. Dad never wants to spend time with me. And so now with God, I think, man, you know, I'm not even worth God's time. Because that judgment that I put on my dad, I automatically assign to Father God. See, because a father is just supposed to be a representation of God. So I automatically assign that to God. Man, mom and dad left. Mom or dad left. Is it, man, they walked out. How could they? And so you struggle with feeling like you're accepted and with you're special. Man, and that somebody wants you. Man, that God wants you. And you think that God is uninvolved. You think that God is distant. Man, you think God doesn't care about you. Because the same judgments that you place on your parents, you pass on to God. You guys can open up your eyes and look at me. Here's the awesome thing about God's view of you tonight. It has nothing to do with you. Hear me. God's view of you, Jonathan, God's view of you, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. But it has everything to do with what Jesus did for you. Catch this, please. Because, see, the Bible says is that when we get saved, is that we get washed by the blood of Jesus. That means that when God sees you, do you know who he really sees? He sees this amazing guy named Jesus Christ. You know, so how does God really view you? How does God really treat you? Number one is that the Bible says is that he is Emmanuel. Is that he's God with the Emmanuel means God with us, or what I like to say, he's God with you. He's God with you. See, I love what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, 14 and verse 9 and 6 about God. It says, all right, then the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, the Bible says that he loves you with an everlasting love. Come on, let that sink in for a second. He loves you with an everlasting love. Listen, it's a love that's not going to quit, man. It's a love that's not going to give up. Man, it's a love that every single time, it's always going to see the best in you. Every single time. See, the Bible says this in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. It says, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people. Is anybody God's people? All right, some of you guys are excited about this. Darnell, are you God's people? Come on. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I love this next one. The Bible says that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Did you just read that? In fact, let me show you the Bible verse so you'll believe me, because when I first heard this, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't reconcile in my heart. Like, how could God love messed up me as much as he loves perfect Jesus? Can we throw up that verse, guys? It says, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience this perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Wow. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Can you let that sink in for a second? Because that right there, man, is probably one of the most amazing revelations in the Bible. is that he will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 says this. It says, God assured us, I'll never leave you, or I'll never let you down. I'll never walk off and leave you. Is that he isn't a liar. Numbers 23, verse 19 says this. It says, God is not a man that so he does not lie. He is not a human so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? His mercies are new for you every morning. Lamentations 3, verse 22, verse 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I love this next one. We're almost done here. He sings and dances at the thought of you. Did you know that God sings and dances at the thought of you? The Bible says this in Zephaniah, verse 3:17. It says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. The word rejoice there, it means to leap in spring. It means to become bright. Listen to me. The thought of you lights up God's face. When he thinks about Isaiah, he gets this big old grin from ear to ear, and he becomes so bright. When he thinks about Kate, the Bible says, man, that he gets up from his throne, and the angel's like, man, there goes God. He's dancing again, man. He must have been thinking about Kate. Wow. And you know what the Bible also says? It says that his thoughts towards you outnumber the sand on all the beaches in the world. That must mean God must do a lot of dancing. He must do a lot of leaping and springing. Last one before we close. That God wants to bless you. We talked about this last week. But man, every single day, God is looking for ways to do you good. See, when you wake up tomorrow morning, the first thought on God's mind is, how can I bless them today? How can I do good to them today? Man, God's not out to get you. God's not mad at you. Man, God's not waiting in heaven with an anvil waiting to strike you. No, God is in heaven waiting to bless you. It's all throughout the Bible. With every head down and every eye closed tonight, man, I just feel like, I know that many of us have been here at this church for quite some time. Man, and you know that God loves you because you've heard the Bible verses, but is your heart and your head in agreement? Come on, what does your heart really believe? You know, for years, I could quote scripture about the love of God all day long. I mean, I could tell you Bible verses up and down, left and right about God's love and his thoughts towards me. But you know, for years I thought that I had to work to get God's attention. Even though I knew the verses. You know, to be honest, it was really hard for me to say the phrase, man, God loves me. I could say God loves you. Oh man, God's crazy about you. Oh man, God's wild about you. Man, but I wasn't living in the reality that God was crazy about me. And I think maybe there's some of us in this room where we know the scriptures. We've heard the Bible verses before. But maybe our heart doesn't quite yet believe. And tonight, I believe that God wants to give us a fresh impartation of his love. I mean, listen, I believe that God not only wants you to know about his love or to hear about his love, but God wants you to know it. So tonight, if I'm talking about you, and you just need like a fresh revelation, man. You just need a fresh impartation of the love of God. I just want you to raise your hand. Come on, yeah, just right now. If that's you, just raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Come on, if you raise your hand, I know it's not everybody in the room, but if you raise your hand, I want you to stand up. In fact, if we all could stand up tonight. And if you raise your hand, I mean, I just want you to come forward. And I mean, I just want to pray for you guys. I just want to pray for you guys. Come on, you guys can just come forward and line up shoulder to shoulder here. If tonight I'm talking about you. Come on. The altar is always open. Is there anybody else? Come on, man. There's no shame. Now listen, to be honest with you guys, I'm probably going to get somebody to lay hands on me and pray for me at the end. Because I'm like, God, I want a deeper revelation of your love for me. You know, for those of you guys who are down here, I love what Paul says, man. He says, God, show me the height. Show me the width. Show me the breadth. Show me the depth of your love. And man, like, if Paul was saying that, how much more do we need it, right? Right? So, man, we're all in the same boat. And so I want to pray over the rest of you guys. And I'm going to dismiss you guys because it's 8:30. But for those of us up here, man, Rob is going to sing and play in some worship. And I'm going to invite the leaders down, actually, man, just to come and start praying over you guys, okay? And I want you guys, man, to really lock in with Jesus, okay, and really receive, all right? Father, we bless you tonight, God. We thank you for who you are. God, I thank you, God, that we would just learn how much we're loved. God, that it wouldn't be this thing, God, where we... God, that it would just become more than head knowledge, and it would become heart knowledge in us, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, man, I just dismiss you guys. Man, I ask that you guys go in the lobby and hang out out there and live stream. We love you guys.